let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Magic Stones by Randy McKinnon, pen name Graham and Noor, invites readers on a whimsical adventure with Molly and Pete. As they embark on a quest to find a mysterious cave their fathers often talked about but hadn't been able to find. With vibrant and captivating illustrations, the book transports readers to a magical world filled with rolling hills, mountain vistas, and a hidden cave adorned with sparkling flowers and slumbering fairies. Randy McKinnon came to the country from Norway in 1959, settled in Oregon. After working in the food and hospitality service 40-some-odd years, she retired. Well, retirement was boring. She needed something new to hold her interest. She decided to take a correspondence course in writing children's books through the Institute of Children's Literature. Most of her stories are fictions, as she embellishes on stories told to her as a child. She had no playmates and made up games on her own. Trolls, fairies, and the like were believed to be real according to their grandparents. So remembering these, she has a lot to write about. The Magic Stone is a charming celebration of the fantastical, and author Graham and Noor, Randy McKinnon in real life, is our guest on This Week in America. Grandma, Randy, thank you for being with us. Pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure entirely.
I'm looking forward to this conversation today. It is such a delightful children's book that you've written. Let's go back to coming to the United States and then go back and talk about those days in Norway and where all these ideas came from that you write about in the book. Let's go back to 1959. What was it like coming to the United States?
Exciting and scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. A little bit of each.
I didn't know anybody here. I had an old aunt that lived in Oregon, but I had seen her only once in my life, and I had no knowledge of anything else. I spoke very poor English. In fact, it was just something I had learned through songs that I really loved to sing, and they were all, you know, special favorites from that time, that era.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I, yes and no, and please and thank you. That was it.
Well, you've come a long way since there. That vocabulary has expanded, but that's interesting. That was your core here. And you worked for a number of years and then decided to retire, but retirement didn't seem for you, did it?
No, it didn't. I am a restless soul, has always been. And I needed something to do with my hands, or I couldn't sit on my hands. I had to eat. And that wasn't where I was at.
Well, the book that we're talking about on today's interview is The Magic Stones by Graham and Noor. That's how you'll find it. The book available wherever books are sold, published by inksandbindings.com. You'll find the book there, Amazon, all of the usual places. I want to go back to the early days, the Scandinavian folklore that you were exposed to and the influence that had on you, because there's so much of that that's referenced in this book, The Magic Stones. Talk about that. It sounds like a magical childhood you had over there.
Yes, Scandinavia has got a lot of adventurous tales. And Norway especially has trolls. And over here, they believe that trolls are evil and they eat kids and all this yada yada stuff. And I'm trying to set some of that straight, that was not necessarily so. And to us, some trolls were evil, and they would steal animals, farm animals, without asking. But some were not. They were kind of businesslike. They'd come to the farmer and say, "Okay, if you give me one cow per year, I will take care and watch your farm so nothing happens to it." So they were business people, actually.
It sounds like it, yes.
Yeah.
That's a new side of trolls that I was not familiar with. Let's see, we learned something on the program today in talking about that and having Randy with us on the program. When did this desire to write books, when did that occur to you? You went to school to learn how to, you studied and how to write the children's books, but it sounds like these ideas have been sort of in floating in your head for a number of years.
Yes, I would, when I wrote letters to my friends and family in Norway, they would always call it the book edition because I was writing pages and pages. And that's where it came from. Love to write about.
Well, yes, and you do such a wonderful job in bringing it to life, along with the illustrations. Now, let's talk about that. As you're writing this beautiful text, and you've got this great story, and you've got mom and dad that are interested in the story. They're reading it with their young people. The young people are talking about it, just really totally entertained by the story. The book does so much from an illustrative standpoint in telling the story as well. How important was that to have that visual aspect of it there? Because it really makes your words come alive.
The illustrations were something I was fighting with because they were outsourced. And I couldn't get them to understand what a pinafore was, what this was, what that was, because they just didn't understand it. So bantering back and forth for email 6-7 times, and finally I said, all right, it will have to be this way. But it turned out pretty good.
It really did. The colors come alive. The pictures are so expressive. The book is The Magic Stones by Graham and Noor. You'll find the book wherever books are sold, published by inksandbindings.com. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about Molly and Pete and tell us the story. I tried very quickly just a little synopsis of the story. Molly and Pete, tell us a little about them and the adventure they take off on.
They were constantly listening to the stories that their families would tell them, especially the fathers, because in those days, this book is set back in the 30s, 1930s. And they would sit and listen in the evening to their father's stories. And the fathers were constantly talking about this one cave that they wanted to find. And so being kids, what kids are, they wanted to go into the wilderness and find it. And which they did, they packed themselves some food and took along and headed out. And they found the cave. But the cave had the cave behind it. And that's where the magic begins. And by the way, in every book that I write, there is a moral. There is a moral in the story that the children will have to figure out what the moral is to this book. And did you read the book?
Yes, and I can understand exactly what it is you're talking about. How important is that to have that moral and to have it? This is just not a book that you read and you put down. This really, there's some lessons in there. It stimulates the imagination. There are really a lot of different themes that Randy develops in the course of the book. Talk about, please, how important that is to have children really engaged in the story, not just reading it and going off to something else, but engaged in the story you're telling.
When the kids figure out the moral, that is when my book has become popular. I took this book and read it to a third grade class at school, and then I read it to a fifth grader. And the fifth grade didn't do anything. He said, well, this is not a book for me. I don't believe in that stuff. But the third graders said, okay, said this little girl that came up to me. She says, I want to be Molly. I want to find that cave, but I don't like trolls. I said, there's no trolls in this story. No, I want to find the fairies then. and I want to do this and I want to do that with the book. She was thinking, fifth graders were not.
You know,
and this
amazing.
Is what I wanted.
The minds are probably so open at that point that, you know, the story really played to them. Who would you then, we're talking first, second, third graders, is that the ideal age for the book?
Especially third graders. First and second, I don't know. I think they are too scattered yet.
Yes. And, you know, as I'm reading the reviews, parents are enjoying this as well. There are really messages there that they can talk about as they're reading to the child or the child is reading to them. This really is a family type book, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I also was weaving just a little bit of Christianity in all my books, and especially this one. Because I wanted it to be mutual.
Yes. And that message does come across. There's so many, this is such a delightful book and captivates young and old readers, as I was mentioning. You talked about other books. What other books have you written?
I have written two more books. It's called, the first one is Katie and the Troll Queen. And the second one is Katie's Friends, The Adventures of Tilly and Millie. And this deals with trolls. Now, the trolls here are the industrial ones. The Troll Queen is the mean one. That's the one that they call here the witch.
Ah, okay. Yes.
Yeah, but she is portrayed in the Scandinavian tales quite differently. She appears to whoever she wants to work with at that moment as a beautiful, beautiful woman, gorgeous. But that doesn't last.
Oh,
and
okay.
She's extremely devious.
How long does it take you to develop these characters? Does this come easy? Or I would think it'd be a skill going back to try to get the story and to break it down so it's relatable to the young people. How challenging is it to write this story at that level?
Well, let's say I need to be alone. No, it's not. I have a mind, very open mind to writing, and I truly enjoy it. So it's not that difficult to me. I just set myself as a 11-year-old back in my village and go out in the wilderness.
Well, I can tell from your voice and the video of this, the expression on your face as you're talking about the story, how this is really a passion. This is a love for what you do. And it comes across in this book in particular, The Magic Stones by Graham and Noor. You'll find this and the other books available online, Amazon. If you just click on Graham and Noor, you'll find the other books that are available there as well. This really taps into something that I think is so important and possibly missing in young people now. And that's the role of imagination. Talk about that. You had basically your imagination to get you through those young years, it sounds like, when you didn't have a lot of young people around you, kids around you as you were growing up. How important is imagination and creativity?
To me, it's 99% of a child. Because children today, they look to the computer for stimulation. I think that is so wrong. Their brain is going dead. Not dead, but going to sleep.
Yes.
And they have to get away from that and start reading real books and start thinking. Because that actually, children today, some of them, a good part of them, do not know how to write cursive. And
yes.
This is gone by the wayside as well. I am so sad over that.
There's a lot to be said for that and how we grew up and what we went through and the stories and the friendships and all of that, that at least on the surface seems like it could be missing today. This book has described a blend of old-fashioned storytelling and European tradition that harkens back to a simpler time. Let's talk about old-fashioned storytelling. Is that missing as well in modern society? We're moving at a different pace, so it's understandable, I guess. But are we missing that storytelling, what's described as old-fashioned storytelling that you and I grew up with?
I think we are, because we used to have it in school every day. We'd sit on the floor in school with the teacher as well. And then we would make up our stories. The teacher would start saying, okay, once upon a time. And then we would take it. The kids around would take that and fill in what we thought would fit to the story, and the teacher would write it down, and then at the end of the year she'd read the stories to us. And this is something you don't see today.
No, and I can remember as you're talking about that, or just sitting on the rug in the middle of the classroom and everybody going through this and everybody participating, I remember that as so much fun. But it memories of, you know, there could have been difficult times too, but I remember that fondly, those times that we were all doing that. The European tradition, how much different is that when you remember what you grew up with and what you saw when you came to the United States? Is there a stark difference between the two?
Night and day. That is the difference. I just couldn't believe it. But this, the technical data has come in, and that has changed it all. And I'm very sad over that, very sad, because the teachers don't have the time or whatever has stopped them from seeing that. The kids don't want to, and the teachers can't make them. And that's sad, because, and then the families don't have time for their kids either.
Oh, yes.
For the moment.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a big part of it, to get everybody together and then to get them together in a relaxed state where you could sit and talk and tell stories, even nighttime stories. So difficult to get people together. The book does a wonderful job in maybe trying to break that down a little bit for the young people to see what can happen when you read, when you go off by yourself and you read the story and you escape into that world that, in this case, Randy has created for them. Have you seen that as you're talking to young people and reading the stories, where this may turn on the light bulb for them that, wow, this is sort of fun. I can go off on my own with my mind, with my book, and create my own little world.
I had a little girl ask me at the end of the session at school for the third grade. She says, can I find this book on my computer? I said, I beg your pardon? Yeah, because we have a computer and we got books on there. I said, no, you can't. At that time, you couldn't. And she says, well, then I just can't read it. I said, Mama can buy it or Papa can buy it for you. Oh, I don't think so.
Boy, and the experience is so much better, isn't it, when you've actually got the book and you've got the colors and you've got the smell and you've got the pages and you can go back and forward. And of course, you can do that online too, but it's just not the same as having it there in your hand and being able to pick it up and carry it with you and just relate to the story that way.
Yeah, I agree 200%.
We've got a couple minutes left here. What do you hope the takeaway is as a family, a young person, others hopefully in the family read The Magic Stones by Graham and Noor? You mentioned the moral there. What do you hope the overall takeaway is, besides just an enjoyable story? There are lessons to take away as well.
There are lessons of stick-to-itiveness, friendship, family togetherness, and all that comes with that, the good fuzzy feeling that you get when you read the story that you really like and you get your brain going, and it's just like a cup of hot chocolate with lots of stuff in it, and enjoy the book.
Yes, a couple of marshmallows on the top of that hot chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're an adult and you've gone through a difficult day, you come home, you pick up a book like this, you just sit for a little while and you read through it, and it takes you back to the childhood and all of the memories that you have, and you see the beautiful pictures and the environment which you relate to, something we often don't do anymore. It's just it's a wonderful entryway into a different world, a more relaxing world. And I think there's a lot of enjoyment there as well. You mentioned the several books that you've got. Are you working on another one now?
Yes, I am, but I it's kind of expensive to do, and I am not earning money anymore. So I don't know what will happen. I've also written my biography, which is an interesting one because my life has been a tumble all the way through.
I would love to have a chance to read and to talk about that. So when you get to that point, let me know. I think that would be fascinating, what you went through in those early days in the Scandinavian country and then coming over here, and what you've gone through here in the United States and writing the stories in all of this. It's been a remarkable life. You're touching so many people now, and hopefully they will go out, buy the book, and we can keep you going in writing these stories under Graham and Noor. We'd love to have more of them.
Okay, I will see what I can do.
And I think you have plenty of ideas there, so we just need to keep feeding you so you've got time to the resources to get in there and do that. It's been, Randy, such a pleasure having you on the program. A delightful guest. I love what you're doing. I love the story. I love what the morals, the lessons, the themes you're sharing with young people. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Oh, it's been my pleasure entirely. You have a very nice voice, sir.
Well, you have a very nice writing style, so I love to have the chance to talk about that. So thank you for that. And once again, the book is The Magic Stones by Graham and Noor. That's N-O-R. Real Life Randy McKinnon. The book's available wherever books are sold, published by inksandbindings.com. You'll find a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.